struts like John Wayne, resembles Jim Carrey, and dresses like he's visually impaired. Because he is. Insight. Insight with Mark Farrell on the Progressive Radio Network.
Ah, yes. Thursday, New York City. Gorgeous day. Well, that is, unless you are stuck in traffic due to the General Assembly. It's always like a double-edged sword when that comes to town. You're like, oh, yes, things are going to get done, but things won't get done because of traffic. Mark Farrell hanging out with you Thursday, Friday Eve, New York City. Great show coming your way. We're going to be talking about two incredible people, trailblazers that are leading an organization in a fight against FOP. And they are not alone because there are many people behind them, right in line in solidarity, raising critical funds, doing messaging, creating a movie, which we will see and debut as a trailer right here on Insight on Progressive Radio Network in moments. We're going to meet one of their offspring as well, who has this condition known as FOP. It's been a crazy week so far. Very quickly, we're going to get to meet our guest. But I had an incredible talk on Tuesday at a school. But I want to share a little bit about this talk, not so much the talk itself. The talk is on resiliency. But what led up to the talk? Your host and music festival party goer this weekend was at a festival down in Asbury Park all weekend called See Here Now, and had a kind of a relatively awkward back going into it. And by the end of Sunday and Monday morning, I was doubled over because my herniated disc had popped out. So here I was thinking, oh man, thank God the talk I was giving on Tuesday wasn't slated for Monday because I was really walking crooked and bent over. Long story short, I did everything in my power. I have the exercises I know to kind of push this disc back into its slot, the L5. And I stayed full and true, kept doing those exercises, and got it going. And I was not feeling great for that talk on Tuesday, but I was able to stand up straight, give a powerful talk. I think it was well received, certainly. And it's funny because I did share at the end of the talk about resilience, about how it's digging deep into one's soul, work ethic, and overcoming obstacles. And that was a huge obstacle for me that day. Because people don't want to hear that you're sick or you have pain. If you're scheduled to do a big event, one of our guests today owns a restaurant. You think their clientele cares that he's not feeling well? No. They want their seafood, their steak, their order just as they expect or better than the time before. So whatever your audience is, you have to come 1,000% prepared and not complain. But I did use it as a talking point to demonstrate how life is about being accountable, how you have to be prepared, despite maybe not feeling your best or maybe feeling like just swallowing a whole bottle of Aleve so you can get by that day. But long story short, I survived and I'm much better right now. So maybe you're having one of those days today. Maybe you're struggling with something, whatever your struggle is, whether it's a personal relationship, drug addiction. Maybe it's something that's just an internal demon. You have to face it and you have to deal with it. So obviously we talk a lot about those issues right here on Insight, and we certainly welcome any calls and comments always at 888-874-4444, 888-874-4444, 7 minutes after the hour. And it's interesting how worlds collide. And I'm so happy how they do, because I have my fingers certainly in a different, a lot of pods, because as a motivational speaker at schools and colleges and corporations, as a DJ for a rock station, as an event host, I'm somebody who is involved with a lot of different circles, happily so. And I love this because I think it's what makes life go round for me. I love meeting new people. I love positively impacting people. And one of these ways is by meeting these guests today. I was actually at a former guest who was on the show here, Teresa Reed. We talked about Beyond Organics, oh, maybe 10 months ago, a year ago. She's in Central New Jersey, the proprietor of a Beyond Organics farm, which is a vertical farm, hydroponics, which is doing remarkably well on this beautiful, pristine, idyllic landmark of maybe 500, 1,000 acres of sod field. picturesque, and she has this thriving business. Well, she teamed up with somebody because she's good-hearted, and long story short, and we'll talk about this later, but they had a benefit there a few weeks ago. And I was happy to be able to attend this benefit for FOP. And we'll talk about this and the movie Tin Soldiers that it benefits. But the reality is people come together. And that's what I love about the world that I'm in. That people realize there's a need. And whether it's money, whether it's blood, sweat, and tears, whatever the case may be, people come together in a time of need. And it's my pleasure to welcome two guests this morning. In the studio, Hillary Weldon. Hillary, hello. Welcome. Come on up to that microphone.
Hello.
Don't be shy. You spoke so elegantly that
so
night.
So nervous.
And you look divine. I love that t-shirt.
Thank you.
If you're Facebook Live, you can see she has a wonderful Tin Soldier shirt on, and so does my other guest, Amanda Calley. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Mark. Great to be here. Thanks.
Great to have you here, both of you guys. Coming in from Midtown, really hard for you to get here today. And you had a girl sleep overnight. I'm really offended that we as a gender opposite of you, that I was just declined an invite because of my mere gender. Anyway, we're here to talk about a very, very important topic, FOP, which stands for, hold on a second, I lost my piece of paper, fibrodysplasia
ossificans progressiva.
Progressiva. And it's a progressive disease that breaks down the ligaments and the tendons and actually calcifies and actually makes bone to bone. A very, very rare disease. And you both have children that have this disease. Hillary, your daughter Whitney, who is 27 years of age, who is beautiful and doing so well. And I had the pleasure of meeting at this great event weeks ago at Beyond Organics. It's just blossoming. But obviously, there's been a lot of rough roads and times between now and then when she was diagnosed at 8. Tell me about the first signs of something that was going awry.
Well, when she was born, and I'll be very quick about that part of it. The doctors and her grandpa noticed that she had odd big toes that were shorter, and my stepdad said, listen, she's probably going to have surgery one day so she can get into high heels, because he said, I think she has bunions.
I like the way he thinks. He's worried about her
high heels
appearance.
So, moving forward, we didn't think anything about it. And then around 4 years old, we noticed that when we would call her name, she really wasn't answering us as, you know, quickly. I'd have to say Whitney, Whitney, Whitney many, many times. And it slowly came to realization for me that I thought maybe she had some sort of hearing impairment. Which we found out that she did. She has a bilateral hearing loss, which we thought, this is really strange. They her stapes fixation bones, the three little bones in her ears, calcified. So years down the road, 8 years old, we have a 2-week vacation for school break. She plays basketball Friday before we go, and she lifts the basketball up to the net, and she feels a crack in the back of her neck. So during those next 2 weeks, it looked like a big juicy tumor was forming in the back of her neck, and it was very, very, very scary. And we actually flew home and brought her right to the emergency room.
And what was her first reaction? They were probably thinking tumor as well.
They were thinking tumor from, they did an MRI of the neck, and the orthopod at the time said, this is just so unusual. It looks like she has a second bone in her neck that I don't recognize, and I think we should send her to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
Now, was that determined via X-ray, the extra bone?
Yeah. And said, I want you to go see Dr. Dormans. He's an expert on bone tumors. So we were able to quickly get an appointment with Dr. Dormans at CHOP. So from there, we had the appointment, and he looks at me and says, you know what? I don't really want to touch her right now because there's something called FOP. And he goes, but lucky for us, the world-renowned scientist Frederick Kaplan is right across the campus, and he will be able to determine right away, because if I do a biopsy or anything on her, it could make it worse. I just want to feel comfortable and have him look at her
first.
Well,
bravo for his insight and being so keen, number one, to semi-diagnosis, and number two, for you guys to be so lucky, to
lucky.
Be so fortunate, because you're going to, as you hear about this interview progress here, this is so, so rare. And so many physicians, part of this whole progress and platform is to notify parents and physicians of this FOP disorder. So, I mean, the fact that your first stop actually was diagnosed is pretty miraculous.
It was miraculous. It really was. And, you know, we got in to see Dr. Kaplan, and another doctor friend of mine said, now listen, don't look at the internet before you go see Dr. Kaplan. This was a good friend of ours.
And it was less daunting back then.
Yeah, because there's just not that. I think when Whitney, So we go, and this lovely, lovely, wonderful doctor, he sits down on the floor because Whitney was only 8 at the time. Mm. He goes, Whitney, I'm going to take your shoes off. And he looks at her toes. And in the meantime, you know, he has seen x-rays of her big toes. And he's looking and touching her back and her neck. And I said, well, what do you think? Because there was a glimmer of hope that maybe not. And I said, is it positive or negative? Because I didn't want her to be in the room. And he goes, oh, no, it's positive. And at that point, there was really nothing. Hmm. And he was so kind. And he goes, you know what? You just have to bring her home and keep her safe. And, you know.
By keeping safe, do you mean make sure she doesn't get injured, fall?
Yes.
Live a very protected sort of life.
Protected life, because any trauma to her can create what they call flare-ups. And just learning that you can't have immunization shots. You can't go into a jacuzzi with the bubbles going
too hard. Was that known then, or something that you learned along the way?
Learned along the way. I knew about the immunization shots, but I didn't know more detail until I met Amanda Kelly, who's here, ended up being my mentor in going through this journey.
Unfortunately, Whitney was 8 years old. She was fully immunized, so there was no impact right there.
Thank goodness, yeah. But after that, no, there was no more, you know, shots, unless it's like a life-threatening situation.
And we're very fortunate to have Whitney right on the phone. Whitney Welton, welcome to the show. How are you, my dear?
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you look fantastic today, as always. Well, listen, it was a pleasure meeting you a few weeks back at that incredible event. And I just want to first and foremost just compliment you on your tenacity, resilience, and bravery. You are pretty remarkable, and you're actually serving as a motivator for other people with FOP, and I take my hat off to you.
Thank you so much.
So at first is a bit daunting for you, because as any disease with the onset, you're in denial. First of all, it can't really be happening to me. And then secondly, why would it happen to me? What did I do wrong? Tell me about the mental state initially.
Yeah, well, so I was 8, so I was pretty young. And I remember the first thing my parents told me was I could no longer participate in gym class, do town sports, play at recess, do the jungle gyms. And it was really hard because at that age, all you want to do is fit in, and I kind of stuck out like a sore thumb, not being on the sideline, not being a part of being with my friends. And I think that social interaction, no matter what age you are, is so important. And I believe that when I was younger, I missed out a lot, and I really was bummed that I couldn't be a part of team sports, because that was a big, big part of being in school.
Sure, a rite of passage.
Yes.
Yeah, but guess what you did do? You tell them what you did to how you participated in sports.
That's mom speaking. For our listeners, not for you, Whitney.
So in high school, I was actually, to be able to be a part of a sport community, I was actually the manager for the field hockey team and the lacrosse team for a few years. So I was able to participate, be with my friends, and feel like I was doing something beneficial for not only my school, but also for my friends.
Outstanding, Whitney. Fantastic. Well, guess what? You may want to update your resume, because you may be able to get a job with the Mets next year. Because they're most likely going to need a new manager. So with that skill, and also with your acumen and your education background, Georgetown University, NYU master's degree, nothing has stopped you.
I try not to let FOT stop me. I think it's a part of my life, but I don't go about my day thinking I have it. I just try to make my day, to me, as normal as possible. And I think only when I have, per se, flare-ups do I really think about FOP. But besides that, I go about my day in my motorized wheelchair, go get my coffee, hang out with my friends, and really try to be a part of the New York City lifestyle.
And though you should. And also, you're going to be also possibly working, I'm not sure if you're at liberty to speak about this, but you have a contract with a very, very prominent company in the near future in the HR world.
Yes, I do have a big interview next week, and I look forward to continuing that process, and we'll keep you definitely posted on where it leads me.
And talk about your role as an advocate. Obviously, this is not something that you sign up for. You don't have it reflected in your resume, but this is something, obviously, that you live, breathe 24/7. This is your life. This is your family's life. This is your caretaker's life. And as an advocate, you can really open the eyes of someone who's younger than you and possibly older than you, because we all have different seasoned experience, sage advice in one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I've gotten older, I've been more open to talking about FOP. I think when I was younger, I was more embarrassed about it, because being different is so hard, and not being able to fit in to the normal lifestyle, you kind of have to do it a unique way. But I was fortunate enough when I was 17 that my parents outfitted a car for me, so I was able to drive for a few years before more of my bones calcified, and that gave me a lot of freedom. And I think that giving hope to the younger generations is so important, because you should never let a condition like FOP stop you from living your daily life. And I had the opportunity to be a part of this great film called Tin Soldiers. And with the hope that we find the undiagnosed, because it's so rare that many people get misdiagnosed, and that's super dangerous. And I would love just to show the future generations that there's a life beyond FOP, and we shouldn't ever let FOP stop us from pursuing our dreams, because I think that it is an obstacle put in our way, but I think no matter who you are and wherever you are in the world, that you can really go beyond our disability and really transform the way people look at us. They look at you not just as FOP, but just as a human being pursuing your dreams.
Very well said, Whitney. Very well said. Number one, I believe that you are a person first, and this is a part of who you are. It doesn't define you. You're a champion of many things, and the fact that you're being an advocate for someone or for persons with FOP is great. But, you know, you're a person who is very social. You're a person who, I believe, likes fashion as well. There's many sides to Whitney. This is just one aspect.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I...
Go, please.
I definitely... Although FOP is a big part of me, I try to go about my life with the love of fashion. I know for me, like, you look good, you feel good. That's definitely my daily motto because I think that someone's confidence is so important, especially when they're faced with a disability. Because when I first started in my wheelchair when I went to college, I was so embarrassed by it because I didn't know how to make friends, and I stuck out like a sore thumb again, making a new environment, trying to make friends. And I think my confidence really makes people overlook my wheelchair. And I don't think right now that my friends look at me like I'm in a wheelchair. They just look at me as Whitney.
Absolutely.
And
good.
And I definitely find that it took me about a year to really love my wheelchair, and now I don't know what I would do without it. I think it has saved my life in more than one way, and it gives me so much independence and freedom that I am able to go out and about New York City on my own, and with the generous help of strangers, they open doors for me. They will do whatever I need.
And that pretty smile doesn't hurt either. That's a great perspective you have, Whitney, and I applaud you for that. And keep going strong, and I wish you all the best with your interview, because if it's not this interview, it's going to be the next Lunky company or the company after that. And think of your wheelchair as just like a phone. Everybody has an appendage that they just can't put down, and yours is your chair. That's all, because everyone is walking around. Two people literally walked into me on the way over here because they're walking down the street with a phone in front of their face.
Yeah, that does happen. I mean, every day there are people who just look down at their phone. Phones are attached to our hips, even mine. I don't blame them. And you can't, sometimes I got to be like, excuse me, like.
Pardon me, part the sea here. And,
exactly.
and lastly, Whitney, how does it feel to be part of a 80-minute documentary that can really, really change and impact lives globally?
Yes, I mean, I'm so honored that I'm able to be a part of such a beautiful documentary. And I think that I hope that the whole world gets to see it. I think it'll open people's eyes to not just what a disability is, but how five of us overcome our obstacles, regardless of what community we live in. Mm. And we just live our lives day in and day out and really just go for it.
Whitney, I know you're on Facebook, but are you part of, by chance, a actual group that's on Facebook for FOP?
Yes, there is a female group. I'm not sure how many individuals are in it right now, but if people have questions, they say they need help doing their makeup because they can't reach their face. People give advice.
That's me.
It's really great. And I also do talk individually with some other FOP patients, and we have a very close connection. But definitely, as I've gotten older, I've been more open to really welcoming the FOP community into my life because we're all so different. To me, it's very scary.
Mm,
but
sure.
I definitely, as I've become more mature and stuff, I rely on their advice and they rely on my advice.
Fantastic. Good exchange. And Whitney, I'd like to also say to you that I have a rare visual impairment, and there are no glasses or surgery or procedures that will reverse this. But there are clinical trials in place, and of course, within this anomaly, I'm an anomaly. So I know, though, within my years left on this beautiful planet, that there will be something that can be done for me. And I love the fact that you are very confident, you're very young, you have a world of opportunity ahead of you, and I guarantee in a not-so-distant future, there will be something that actually we're going to be talking about. There are four clinical trials right now for FOP that will benefit you.
Yes, I mean, I never thought that being 27 now, that we would be in a state where we could be participants in these trials. It's really, really remarkable, and I can't thank the doctors, researchers, other FOP patients for participating, because that's a big thing about trials is we need the people to be able to test these drugs, and with the Tin Soldiers documentary, I hope that we can find more people. So not only do we help them thrive in life with FOP, but they can be able to participate in these trials, because I think that the more people we find, the more hopeful we'll all be in the FOP community to seeing a treatment one day. And I really have to say that I never thought that I would live in a world where we'd find a treatment, or at least something that slows down the bone growth for such a horrific disease. And I think just continuing to live my life daily with my wheelchair and my caregiver, I really don't know where I'd be without any of that.
It takes a village.
Definitely.
No matter what your situation in life, it takes a village. I love to think that way, and people are always there to support you. Whitney, thank you so much. You are so impressive on many levels, and I look forward to seeing your big, beautiful smile soon.
Thank you so much.
30 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. We're talking FOP. I have two incredible guests. Make it three incredible guests. Whitney just got off the phone. Hillary Walden is the mother we just spoke to in the beginning of the show. And Hillary, your daughter is just outstanding on many levels. I know it was difficult and very very verklempt of times where you were verklempt, but understandable because of how powerful and how strong she is. That's great.
Yeah, she's a special person.
She
I'm lucky
is.
To be your mom.
Amanda Calley, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mark.
Pull that microphone to you, please.
Okay.
So your son, Ian, is also a remarkable individual. He is an entrepreneur, 29 years of age, and diagnosed with FOP at age 5. Were the situations similar to how Hillary's daughter, Whitney, was diagnosed?
Yeah, I mean, most people with FOP are misdiagnosed, certainly 24 years ago when our son was diagnosed. Most people were misdiagnosed, thought to be cancer, and often received chemotherapy, radiation, biopsies, which, of course, any trauma to a body that has FOP creates extra bone. So any trauma is, pretty devastating, or can be. Not all trauma, but... So Ian spiked a very high fever at the age of 4, took him to...
Totally not uncommon.
Yeah, not uncommon. Had a very swollen neck, and we were living in the mountains of Colorado at the time. Went to the local medical center, and they thought he had, strep throat, those kind of things. Anyway, very quickly... they thought it might be cancer, and we were advised to make our way back to New Jersey. At the time, my husband was starting up a new business venture in New Jersey. So we came home, and he was misdiagnosed, which is very common as well. I just need to fit in here that, at the time, that was 24 years ago, there was 83 known cases of FOP in the entire
United States.
World.
Entire world.
Yeah, there was no internet. There were about 6 or 8 papers written on FOP that had to be sent to you in paper format. It sounds archaic at the
via fax, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah,
that alone is archaic.
Yeah.
But in your research, you found out that medical journals dated back to 300 years ago with FOP.
Yeah. Yeah, the first notation in any medical journal was in England 300 years ago about a man turned to stone.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So you must have been pleased but also horrified to read that.
Yeah. Listen, it's challenging to hear your child has a very rare condition. It's even more challenging to hear that there's no treatment and there's really nothing that can be done. But at the same time, you know, it was really, you know, Hillary's and my generation that just stepped up to the plate and said, this is unacceptable. And we started, you know, a very serious campaign to raise money for research and push research along, bring the International FOP Association, which is the world's resource for FOP, still is today. It was a pen pal organization in 1995, and started by a woman named Jeannie Pieper, who lives in Florida and has been our guiding
light. Who also has FOP, correct?
She does. She does.
Now, yeah. You were brought together, Amanda, with Hillary via your doctor?
Yeah. So Ian was diagnosed 4 years prior to Whitney, and we had started at that time.
Unfortunately, they were located close enough in New York and New Jersey that obviously you can create a symbiotic relationship and obviously be huge, indomitable support mechanisms and sources of information.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, the tri-state area actually has quite a few patients. And originally we thought, well, is there something going on in the tri-state area? And then we realized, no, it was just because of the proximity to Philadelphia that, you know, our children were lucky enough to get diagnosed pretty early on. Now there's a lot of people working on FOP. It's not just the University of Pennsylvania and Dr.
And
Kaplan.
Amanda, were you given the same advice by Dr. Kaplan to keep Ian very safe?
Yes. But early on in our family, I decided that FOP was devastating, and I was going to make sure that it was going to take whatever it was going to take, but I was not going to let it take anything extra from Ian. So we
define that.
So, you know, it may have been safer not to let him play soccer and do those things. We didn't let him play soccer on a team, but he played soccer. He was very good at basketball.
You know,
he rode a bike. And I think that that's kind of current thinking, is to try to put a protective helmet on or keep them safe, but
still
live
a
childhood.
Sure.
Yeah. Because this is, you know, with no sight of a treatment, for us, at least 24 years ago, it was the only life he was going to live. So I wanted to raise, you know, an able-bodied child as best as I could, and one that was emotionally intelligent to handle it.
And how did he feel emotionally? Was he, because when you're a child, you really don't know better until you're told. And it's usually either being accepted or not being accepted by your peers.
Yeah, well, it was really interesting, Mark, because we sat our two boys down. I have an older son, Jason, and we sat the boys down and told them that Ian had something very rare, and that he was going to be, and this will lead you into probably the documentary a little bit. We told him he was going to be you know, strong and stiff and stand tall like a tin soldier. And so we kind of had a positive image for him right from the beginning.
Fantastic.
But interesting, our oldest son, who's 8 and a half at the time, asked if Ian was going to die. And we promptly told him that, yes, Ian was going to die, just like every person on the face of the earth was going to die. But FOP would not be the cause of that. And Ian, of course, you have to remember, he was 5 at the time. His response was, well, will I be able to eat candy? And we were like, yeah, you're going to be able to eat candy.
For years and decades.
Yeah. So, you know, my husband and I kind of looked at each other and were like, yeah, we're going to be okay.
Good.
We're going to be okay. We'll just take it one step at a time.
You know, it's probably best, we talked about the different diagnosis times, that there wasn't a plethora of information, more of the unknown aspect back then. So you can sort of be the curator, so to speak, of that. And that's essentially how this film was started, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Amanda, that with the very, very low numbers worldwide, you came home and did the math and realized, you know what? Something really needs to be done here, because the lack of information for the general public nationally and internationally and for physicians is unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we have 800 to 900 known confirmed cases around the world now, which is great. We've worked really hard to, you know, the IFOPA is a great resource and has a lot of outreach. We have international presidents, council members all over the world who reach out in their own country. So we have a great network that, you know, has helped us diagnose people. But just a simple math. We used to say that FOP occurred in one in 2 million, every 2 million births. And kind of some recent data, although it's differing no matter where you look at it, kind of indicates that it's probably an incident rate of one birth in every 1.5 million births, or 1.4. So, took a walk one day in the woods, came home, and just sat down and did the math. 7.7 billion people on the earth.
Is like, that from the CDC?
Yeah, I just looked it up online. Like the world birth clock was going, and the births were
as we speak,
and ticking along. And so when I just did the simple math, so there's no science here or anything, but as a mom with a child with FOP, did the simple math, and
there's heart and passion.
Found
what better motivator?
Yeah, yeah. 5,500 people probably have FOP across the globe. And when I think of 800 people, and then I think of the clinical trials needing maybe 100 people per clinical trial to participate, and I have the personal belief that the cure for FOP will be a cocktail of answers. And so, you know, that's a lot of clinical trials. We got to find the people. And then as I continued kind of my journey, with thinking about this, you know, problem, I realized that I was impassioned to do it, because here I am 24 years later from my own son's diagnosis. And if I close my eyes, I can remember the isolation I felt.
As a parent.
As if it was a moment ago. So I know
the
that.
The world stopped.
Yeah. My entire world not only stopped, but it changed. And so, you know, it doesn't, you can imagine as a mother that knows lots of moms from around the world that have a child with FOP.
Or any major onset of a disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
world is
isolation.
Not the same. But the reality is that you can handle anything now. Your family, the strength of your family is, you know, off the charts for both of you and Hillary.
Yeah, and my Whitney. Son often says, don't worry, we know how to do hard.
Yeah, well, he knows how to do everything hard because he's an entrepreneur. He has a patented app.
Yeah.
Great for Ian.
He does. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. That's actually the name of the app, and that's actually a good expression as well. But yeah, buddy, yeah. Be on the lookout for that in the App Store. Fantastic for him. So he's a trailblazer as well. Apple didn't fall far.
Yeah, well, I think, as Whitney said it so well, you have to pursue your dreams. And, you know, Ian has never let FOP define him. He's a graduate of University of Delaware, and just as an entrepreneur, had a concert promotion business while he was in college, all sorts of things. And he's, you know, he's a fine man, like, you know, Hillary. I'm in awe of my own child.
Yeah,
so.
And it makes you become more resilient when you have a disability. You have to do things differently. Sometimes it takes you longer. To navigate point A to point B, whatever form that comes in. But the result is, you know, you get to where you want to be. And that's what everybody should have the right and option and the availability to do in life. Because you don't want to sit on the sidelines of in life you know, and watch everything go by because you have a disability. You know, I say in my talks that what you do in life defines you, and my difference makes me stronger because of over all the things. I mean, Whitney's under education, her master's, undergraduate degree, same thing with Ian, everything that he pursued. I mean, this stuff doesn't come easily. You know, the meetings he goes to and the resumes and the interviews that Whitney is going for, and putting yourself out there in front of someone who can flat face look at you and say, why would I hire you? Of course, that's against the law, but there are people out there who think that way, and we're changing mindsets day by day and year by year, and we're getting a long way. But, I mean, that's the reality. But that's their world. They're driven. They know that it takes hard work and resilience and knocking on doors and not giving up, and they have two parents that proves that.
Yeah, a lot of self-motivation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have the four clinical trials, and when are they starting?
Well, we're in a phase three clinical trial with Ipsen. Actually, it was started by Clementia Pharmaceuticals, and then it was purchased by Ipsen Pharmaceuticals. And that's a drug by the name of palovarotene. And then we have another drug trial going on that Regeneron Pharmaceuticals is doing. And we have BioCryst and Bluepoint that are also in the beginning stages. So fascinating time. Just fascinating. And and there's a lot more pharmaceutical companies in the hopper.
Oh, I'm sure. If you can encapsulate or summarize what this medication or medications would do, would it be to break down the bones that have grown where ligaments and tendons were?
Well, I'm a mom, so I can't really scientifically tell you what.
Mom / everything else.
but I think what's most important is that the drug trials going on now are kind of coming at FOP in different ways. And I think that that's the most important. I think it's a very complex condition. And ironically, it's really easy to diagnose, or luckily it's easy to diagnose. But, you know, so that's what's most important. It's all the drugs that are hopeful or potential for combating FOP are kind of coming at it at, some are similar, but coming at it in different ways. And that's what's most important with rare diseases, that, you know, not everybody's going down the same avenue.
That's great. And are the doctors, Dr. Kaplan and the other doctors, spearheading these drug trials?
The doctors generally research, and so they then provide kind of a treasure trove of
data,
information that then at some point becomes a potential marketable a thought for a pharmaceutical company. There's also the repurposing of some drugs, and you know, drugs that have failed at other clinical trials that may have found to impact bone growth and so forth. And listen, the pharmaceutical companies are interested because, you know, not only for FOP in this rare condition, but if you think of FOP as kind of the ultimate test model of bone growth, think of the most common health problems. Osteoporosis, like what Hillary said, with the hearing loss, heart valve problems. There's
the baby boomers where they are now. I mean, this could be, you know, gargantuan success. Hopefully that shouldn't be the driving factor, of course. But are Whitney and Ian on board with us for the trials?
Whitney is on one of the trials right now, the PALO.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that we've got. Great. We've got them enrolled. Ian specifically is not. He has chosen to go kind of a naturopathic way of treating what's going on with his body. He has some really energy therapy, and he does some
fantastic,
incredible stuff. But he's not going the pharmaceutical route, at least at this point.
And Whitney is. She's under one of the trials right now.
How long has she been in the trial for?
A little less than 2 years.
Right. Any improvement?
She feels yes.
Great.
She feels yes. So we're keeping our fingers crossed.
All right. Well, one of the initiatives, of course, is to raise awareness, as we're doing today during every In Each conversation, as we did a few weeks ago when you had that great fundraising event, which we will talk about. The other is to promote this incredible film, which is also doing this in a macro sense worldwide. It's called Tin Soldiers. It's an 80-minute full-length documentary, and here's a look at the trailer.
It steals childhood.
Devastation.
É difícil aceitar. Você não aceita que é minha primeira filha.
Foi bem comovente, porque eu não tinha ideia, né?
It's sort of like a trapdoor in evolution.
When I was 12, my left hip ossified, and that was like, you're not running, you're not playing sports, you're not going to the gym, you're not doing any of this stuff. And it was like, holy shit, like, that's who I am.
Eles podem brincar em outro lugar, mas eu não posso. Eles podem correr atrás de mim, eu não posso.
The body's soft tissues turn into bone.
It's a catastrophic disease.
People who have FOP eventually form a second skeleton.
The hardest thing, I think, is when she lost elbow movement in both arms.
Come and get me! Come and get me!
Really, it just meant that how he was a little tall and strong and a little stiff like a tin soldier, he was going to become more like a tin soldier.
Claro que a gente pergunta, é porque eu, né?
Scary to let your child go and be able to experience life.
But you tell it, don't jump too much, don't run too much. She couldn't care less about that. She will do whatever she wants to do.
He's taught us to not be sad and that he can have the best life he can, and he is.
On the threshold of identifying a treatment that is going to be effective for FOP.
It's certainly, you know, the most exciting time since I've been diagnosed.
That diagnosis is vital.
If I was one of those mothers with a child, I sure would want someone somewhere to care enough to search.
We're coming with hope.
When we have to find them, we just have to find them.
And that's the trailer for Tin Soldiers, 80-minute full-length documentary, and featured clips from Hillary Weldon, our in-studio guest, along with Amanda Calley, with their respective children, Whitney Weldon and Ian Callie. There are a few takeaways with that from that trailer. The number one line, I think, is the body forms a second skeleton, which is just sort of unfathomable.
Yeah, it's the only condition known to mankind where one tissue can absolutely turn completely into another. So muscle literally turns into bone, and the muscle's gone, and the bone has, you know, is there.
As we talked about these concentric circles in the beginning of the show in terms of how we initially got connected, Odette Swegler is the executive producer, I believe, and she is in South Africa, a renowned director in South Africa, and you've teamed up with her. The outcome is a phenomenal piece, but it's a shared interest, obviously, in putting this information out there to educate and to inform.
Yeah, listen, Odette's done this before, so she did this for a motor neuron disease and in South Africa. She's a wonderful partner, and she's a brilliant filmmaker. She's a journalist and a storyteller, really. And I met Odette 9 years ago when she was filming another piece on FOP, and I was very, very touched by how she sees the person with a condition first, and the condition second, and her use of visualizations, and it's a beautiful, beautiful film.
Oh, so well shot.
So, yeah, and it's compassionately filmed. I'm always bothered as a mother. I don't know if Hillary feels the same way, but I'm always bothered when somebody has to, like, dramatize FOP. It's crappy to begin with, so it's hard. You know, anybody with FOP can say that.
Media in general, I'm sorry to say that it's, you know, look at the sensationalism, you know, the teases that you see for the 11 o'clock news or everything's just a major headline that is just totally incorrect.
Yeah, but you miss this incredible, inspiring people. I mean, people with FOP are unbelievable individuals. They do incredible things in their lives. They keep, you know, they're just like the glue for so many people, you know.
And the progressive radio listenership is worldwide. How can people see Tinged Soldiers? Obviously, an aptly named, no less.
Yeah. So right now we've got Tinged Soldiers submitted to lots and lots of film festivals in Italy, India, Brazil, Russia, Argentina, Sweden, France, Scotland, and the Czech Republic.
And filmed in three or four different countries?
We filmed in
Paris,
South Africa, Brazil.
New York?
New York. Well, the U.S., the U.K., and France.
Wow.
And, so it's a wonderful story and journey of these people's lives and our search for more people with FOP.
And Hillary and Amanda, you had the opportunity to accept, I'm sure, a very respectful amount of money from the pharmaceutical industry, but you declined it.
Yeah, well, this Tinged Soldiers has been privately funded, and, you know, our hope is that we get to show it as many film festivals. We certainly hope that maybe a network like Netflix or Hulu or Apple TV, somebody might pick it up as well. But it's really a documentary with a purpose. It has a purpose, and that is to help us use it as a tool to bring about FOP awareness and rare disease awareness.
Sure. Kudos to you, Amanda, because I'm sure with private funding, it was, you know, kind of painstaking, certainly, to raise any capital. So to be able to turn down an offer from a pharmaceutical company, obviously, is very alluring, but at the same time, you may have to drive the ship in a different direction. So great all-around work.
I'm going to correct you there, Mark, because I didn't turn down money from pharmaceutical companies. I didn't ask them for money.
Okay.
So just a slight difference
fair
there.
Enough,
but,
fair enough. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm hoping they'll help us with the outreach program, which we'll do for finding people.
And speaking of outreach, the reason why I'm here today, because I met you two fine ladies, is because there's a gentleman named Terry who owns an incredible restaurant in Brielle, New Jersey, Shipwreck Grill, which is my mainstay to go anywhere for a great meal and great conversation. Terry, hi, and welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mark? Thanks for having me.
And thank you for having a huge heart. Tell me very quickly how you got connected with these two individuals.
Well, I've been friends with Hillary for a while, and I met Amanda through Hillary. But this whole fundraiser thing came to light with Teresa at the farm. I buy her products for the Shipwreck Grill.
Teresa Reed, Beyond
right,
Organics.
Exactly. And she came up to me one day, and just out of the blue, and said, do you want to do a fundraiser at the farm? And my first thought was Whitney, of course. So then I got together with a friend of mine, Kim Kiss from the Bee, and we definitely were in, and then we spoke to Hillary and Bill, and it was a go. And from there on, we just started getting participation in different restaurants and you know, food bands. We had Scott Elk perform.
Phenomenal.
He was phenomenal. And we had restaurants like Joe Leone's, Red's Lobster Pot, Shipwreck Grill, obviously, and we got fundraisers through
Bon Jovi.
Well,
Dave, donated items.
Yeah, Dave Bryan is a good friend of ours. He donated a lot. I got Kevin Burkhardt to send me a ball from Pete Rose and A-Rod, and Pat Shermer sent me a jersey from the Giants.
It was quite the quiet auction, or a silent auction, I should say. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was
pretty
good.
I mean, the product that received, and I'm sure Amanda and Hillary can't thank you enough. Between yourself and Kim, is her name?
Kim Kiss.
Kim Kiss from the Bee, it's called?
From the Bee.
From the Bee.
Yeah.
I love that name. And Shipwreck Grill, I mean, just outstanding. Your network of people that you tapped into is just incredibly gracious of you. Ladies, I wish you nothing but the best moving forward with the clinical trials. I know something is certainly around the bend. I can feel it. And we should tell our listeners for more information, log on to or email info@tinsoldiers.org, info@tinsoldiers.org. I'm sure there's their Facebook page, correct?
Yeah, Tin Soldiers Facebook page. Just go to Tin Soldiers. You'll
Amanda,
find it.
All the best to you.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Mark.
Hello
Thank
to
you.
Ian, because I would like to meet this gentleman as well. Hillary, my dear, a pleasure as always.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For having us.
You and Whitney are a great team.
Thank you.
And I know between the four of you, you guys are going to overturn every stone possible in the medical community and in the private funding community to make FOP a thing of the past.
Thanks.
My name is Mark Farrell. This has been Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. The founder of PRN is next. Have a great day. Enjoy.
Insight with Mark Farrell. Check out this and all Insight shows on the Insight page at PRN.FM. PRN.FM. Have Mark speak at your company, your kid's school or college. Mark speaks on critical topics that affect kids and adults everywhere, from anti-bullying, mental health, drugs, and alcohol to overcoming adversity. Visit MarkFarrellMotivation.com for more info. Insight, Thursday mornings at 11 on the Progressive Radio Network.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.